good spirits?
That could turn on any minute.
Table with a table full of chocolate. I mean,
And by the way, you're supposed to take it.
Yeah, you have to take. Oh. You are obligated to take chocolate. Thank you.
Well, I'll be brief today. I don't have anything earth-shattering on the agenda. Just my monthly regular report. Budgets. I'm still working with Todd Hurd. I had a conversation with him yesterday. He said that he met with commissioners 2 weeks ago and talked about the siting, so we're moving forward on that project.
Yep.
I think I've already mentioned this, but it's been about a year ago now. We applied for a grant for some additional radios through FEMA, and that grant was denied.
You apply for that every year?
I try to. It's open again right now. Okay. We've tried it, 3 years in a row now, and been denied all 3 years now. Emergency incidents. November, we only had a total of 13 incidents, and so we're down a little bit from normal, which is that's a good thing. It's a good thing when the fire department's not busy. Fire investigations. We've only got one fire investigation in November. We do have our new investigation division up and running. We've got everybody placed in there. We've got several firefighters from across the county that are part of that program and getting ready to attend the necessary training and receive the credentials they need to be allowed to do that. Public education is going strong. We're pushing the recruitment really hard. I think I mentioned this to you last month when I met with you. Basically from all of October, November, and December, we really try hard to recruit new firefighters. Actually, our numbers are down a little bit. I set a goal of about 20 firefighters that I really want to see signed up for that. Standing right now, we're at 12 new firefighters. So we're trying to make that last push and try to get those numbers up as high as we can. Every little bit of help would be very much appreciated. Mm-hmm. Firewise programs still going well. Actually, we just burned off 25 piles at near Hoback Ranches last weekend. So, continuing to help the landowners up there and burn slash piles and help them with their fuel mitigation efforts up there. And actually, around the whole county, we're burning piles in Boulder Lake Estates and Sylvan Bay and so all around the county, helping out. Smoke detector program is going really strong. We installed 25 smoke detectors, and we're starting to get a waiting list of folks that are interested in getting a hold of the smoke detectors. So I think that's one of our strong successes, and I continue to support that program, and hopefully it makes a difference. And I've said this before, but I've personally seen smoke detectors save lives, and it's one of those things that I feel strongly about, that if we can prevent a fire and minimize that impact to community, it's a program well worth the effort.
Okay.
Training's going well. We're getting ready to start our new recruit academy. That'll start in January with the recruits that I just mentioned. But in addition to that, we've got ongoing training for more advanced level training. Firefighter 2, which is the next step up, officer level, pump operator, and you'll be pleased to know we're part of the pump operator class. Including ADO aerial, which stands for apparatus driver operator aerial operator. And we had 12 of our firefighters go through and become certified. Or they're in the process, but we just completed the hands-on portion of it to become certified to operate the ladder truck over there. So over the
That's
years,
what aerial means.
Yeah,
the ladder truck.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's all about being credentialed to operate that ladder truck and make sure we've got people that are well trained and capable to run that and maintain it and make sure it's inspected.
That's good, because we had that for a while.
Nobody qualified to run it.
Yeah, well, we had some people that could run it, but the question of qualifications was there, and so we're pushing hard to make sure we obtain those qualifications and that we got some good people in place for that. So, let's see here. Training facility usage. Actually, we continue to host meetings and whatnot down there, but as we speak today, Flowright is down there changing over the orifices, so I'm real happy to know that we're going to be switching from propane to natural gas, and we should see a substantial savings in our heating costs down there. So.
Just in time for a cold snap.
Yep. So they're making that transition today, and I haven't had any progress updates from them, but I'm pleased to see that program come together there, and hopefully we'll see a benefit from that student. Health and safety is going strong. We are making all of our schedules for getting our firefighter physicals, because they're already scheduled as we speak, but firefighters are starting to get in there and do their physical tests and their 12-lead stress tests with the EKGs, and everything's moving forward there well and continue to do good things. I spoke to you last month. We're trying to help out with the libraries and offer some CPR training for them, and Sid called us up and was very appreciative of that. So we're helping him to keep his costs down. cooperative service meetings. I continue to go to several meetings. One thing I'll hit on there of notes is every year there's four meetings per year for all the county fire wardens in the state. All 23 counties participate. And then one of those four meetings is actually a face-to-face meeting. This year it was in Buffalo, and I drove up there and attended that meeting. There was a lot of good information come out of that. Predominantly what that means about is preparing for the next wildland fire season, and we agree to establish the rates for, you know, what to charge for our apparatus and what to charge for our firefighters, and how the mutual aid agreements are going to work, and how the cooperative agreements to go out of state and help our neighbors, and all that planning is put in place. While we were there, we had our ML Baxley had fallen down and hurt herself and broken her wrist pretty significantly. She is actually, today's the first day back to work, and I'm pleased to get her back. But she hurt her. She just slipped and fell and hit the pavement pretty hard. But she's back to work today, and we're pleased about that. But the meeting went well up there, and continuing to progress and do good things. But sounds like part of the discussion was WildLink, and talked to the other county fire wardens and was able to assess what everybody else's standing is on WildLink. And basically the summary was that everybody's looking very hard at how the future of WildLink will look for those counties. And there's some counties that are planning to move forward and adopt the WildLink, some counties that are choosing not to, and a lot of counties that are kind of in a wait-and-see pattern. It sounds to me like Sullivan County is ahead of the curve in the progress that we've made with our request for proposals to do what we've been doing. But many of the counties have asked me many questions about what we're doing and how that's progressing and what to expect. So I know everybody's kind of looking to us to try to answer some of the unknowns.
Do we have neighboring counties that are looking at not pursuing WildLink?
Yes, we do. Yeah, Teton County has expressed that they won't go to WildLink, and Sweetwater County has expressed to me that they've got an alternative plan in place to minimize the use of WildLink in the future.
Everybody's kind of watching us to see how ours turn out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my understanding. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah.
What's VS?
Should be a lock stack in general.
VSF meeting.
Volunteer Fire Service.
Service fire.
I saw.
Volunteers. I don't know. ML had done that one. I don't know what the acronym stands for. I'm assuming Volunteer Support Fund, but that's usually what the VSF is, but that's just part of our regular command staff meeting, and I wouldn't have put that in there, so I apologize.
I thought maybe it had something to do with the state group of fire wardens, but...
No, that's the rural meeting.
Rural firefighters, yeah. Annual meeting.
Yeah, okay. On the bottom there. So
yeah,
I couldn't tell what the VSF is, so I apologize for that. I'll ask him up.
No, baby.
It went right by me. You almost got it.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, we'll look underneath. So, command staff meeting is one right underneath it. So, that's exactly what it is. Volunteer Support Fund, which is the Volunteer Support Fund, is part of our regular command staff meeting. But right. we separate the donations from the regular budget,
right.
and the command staff manages that support fund. So, that's exactly what it is.
Well, okay. Good thing we got that figured. I was going to lose sleep over it.
I'd already forgotten about it when I asked the question.
All right, anything for Shad, gentlemen?
I guess my only question is, a private citizen that has a burn pile and wants to burn, say there's an issue, snow on the ground, should they contact the fire department to say, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, actually, I'll tell a quick anecdote. Last night we had a call for exactly that situation. There was a private citizen in the northern part of the county that was burning off a large slash pile at night, and as somebody was driving by in 191, they saw a large glow and assumed it was somebody's home that was burned.
Structure fire.
So they called it in, and we sent all the resources, and we had firefighters from all the county, fire, law, EMS, everybody was responding. We all got there about the same time and found out that it was a
slash
burn. And okay. So it was a significant draw on our resources, and we were battling some bad roads to get there, and all for naught. I mean, if somebody would have taken the initiative to contact our dispatch and let them know that, hey, I've got a control burn, and if anybody sees it, please be aware this is where it's at, and that minimizes those unnecessary responses. So that's the primary reason. But in addition to that, if anybody has any questions, if they're concerned about, you know, how to pile it up for complete consumption or any adjacent combustibles that might be impacted if it's too close or something like that, we've got all kinds of great information and guidance for them, and even we'll go out there and help them and take a look and provide some recommendations and a site visit for them too. Just again, trying to do everything we can to help with fuel reduction in the county.
How big was your pile?
It's big. You just don't see it.
Yeah, was it yeah. You?
No, it wasn't me. No, but I got one. But nobody can see it. But it's
I know.
You see it when you light it on fire, though.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody says, I have a friend.
Yeah. I got a deal for you.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Then, if you don't have anything further for us, you have to take chocolate, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are. If you don't, it will remember it at your next budget.
I'll make sure you take some chocolate. If I take it all, is that?
Yeah, that'll help.
It's yours.
Take plenty.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
You betcha. All right. Beautiful. Mary, have you got some business for us?
I do. Okay.
Let's do yours.
Mr. Chairman, I have some bonds. Roxanna Jensen as the county treasurer. Keith Gingrey as the treasurer for the BOCES Region 5. And Nancy Tolley as the treasurer for the Green River, the Redstone Upper Green River Road Improvement District. Some abatement.
Oh, goody. Who's Wex Pro again?
They run on the Anticline.
Yeah.
It used to be part of Questar.
Yeah.
And then it split off, and they are still there.
Then I have the contract between Sublette County and P&G Golf LLC. This is the group that runs the pro shop. Brought to me by the golf committee, and it has been signed by Paige Harrell, who's part of that.
You'd like us to sign that, Paige?
If you would like.
Would you?
Okay. I didn't know you guys were discussing that right now.
Does anybody have any questions?
Is this the new revised contract, or is that out yet?
That's the new. I just got that last Tuesday.
So this is the new version that they discussed at the meeting previously.
Yes, for the stuff that I requested and they requested.
Okay. Has Matt reviewed this?
Matt made it.
Okay.
Matt made it.
What were the revisions? Anything we need to know about?
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember they were rewriting the contract. And Charlie said they accepted that, and I thought that's weird to accept a contract you haven't seen.
I haven't even shown Charlie this contract, but I signed it. But I just saw it last Tuesday for the first time.
Okay.
But there was a small changes, nothing crazy.
Okay.
It was more just fleshing out what was already in the contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there was no dates that I had to be open, no times that I had to be open.
Oh,
none of that was
and that's in
there last
in there
year,
now.
And now it's in there.
Good.
Because it should be.
Okay, gotcha. Well, that'll help, right?
Yeah.
Well, I would think that's important.
That's what I requested.
Sure.
I was like, if you're going to request that I be open,
let's
my time
put
should
it
be
in the contract.
Yeah. Yeah,
good idea. Anybody need to read the contract before we vote on it?
Just one of the times are open, just in case we're asked.
Hours of operation. April 15th, May 15th, open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Starting May 16th to Labor Day, open 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. After Labor Day to October 31st, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. again.
Sounds like they gave that some thought.
And they may, if it snows, they said I could always close early or stuff like that if there's nobody out there. But other than that, those are the times I have to stick to for now, which I think is better than what they didn't have it in there last year. So.
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
I'm good. Mr. Chairman, I move we accept the contract for services between Sublette County and P&G Golf LLC.
Has been moved.
Second.
And seconded. That we accept the contract for services between Sublette County and P&G Golf LLC. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
I have a question about that.
Oh, no, it's already passed. Sorry.
I know, I don't care about that.
Perfect. Good way.
I'm just wondering why you guys are approving the contract. Why the golf board's not doing that? I mean, it's just
county facilities.
So that's something for consideration with you guys.
Yeah, I guess because the contract is between the county and them rather than them and the golf board.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just curious.
No, the golf board isn't.
Has the golf board read that contract? Are they happy with it?
Scott Sheeney presented it to me.
Okay.
I only know that he read it because I read it to him.
That's good to know, seeing how we already signed it.
Yeah.
I assume they read it. I'm not sure. I can't say on that.
Okay.
Only other thing that I have, Mr. Chairman, is the draft letter that I sent last night about the...
I think it was fine.
Yeah.
Are you okay to sign that?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Do you have that with you, Mayor?
I've got it here.
I do not, but he does.
I've got it right here.
Right, sir.
I was going to suggest a very minor change.
Okay.
This is the letter that goes to industry.
Right.
Asking them for letters of support.
Support.
What do you come up with gig?
Yeah.
What is gig mean?
The gig.
I know what it is. I just don't know what gig stands for. That's a
very good question. I don't like that term.
Gig. What does gig stand for, Ian?
What's that?
You're the guru. What's gig? What's actual gig stand for?
You mean for like the IT term?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, it's gigabytes, but...
Right.
But when it talks about...
When it talks about this acronym, I have no idea.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Very Albert good about myself that. Right now.
Okay.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Albert.
Did Albert draft this?
No.
Albert termed the acronym GIG.
And I think it just is a reference to supplying that to the county.
Yeah.
The only thing I thought about when I read this is the sentence, we know that to be able to successfully conduct our day-to-day business, high-speed internet services are a must. I thought it might read better if we know that having high-speed internet services would greatly increase our ability to conduct day-to-day business.
That sounds good.
Yep. Do you need him to do that again, Mary, or you got it?
That's the only thing I saw.
Okay. Very good.
That, Mr. Chairman, do we need a motion to?
I don't know that we need a motion.
It was already in the original motion.
Okay.
Good. We're okay with that.
Good deal.
All right. Amber.
Hi.
Come on up.
Can I come up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Do I stand
here? Yeah. Aren't you the one
you
that
can
has
have this mic?
And take, you got to take a mouthful of candy.
Oh, yeah. I'll take the chocolate.
You have
for
to.
For sure. No, thank you guys for entertaining. I am playing a little bit of catch up and trying to, I don't know if you all know why I'm here, I guess. But I'm Amber, the director at the Pinedale Aquatic Center. And I'm here at request of one of our board members and Mayor Bob Jones to request, for some assistance in a race that we have coming up this upcoming Saturday for plowing of snow on a bike path.
Okay, so it is a, 5K?
Yeah, it's a 5K fun run, family fun run.
5K.
It's really lucky.
How many years
free.
Do you have this?
This will be the sixth year of the race,
sixth annual.
Mm-hmm. Fifth or sixth annual.
And what part of the bike path needs addressed?
It's just a very small section. So we go from Pack and Go Over. We get on the bike path behind Rendezvous Point there. And we go back behind the football field, past Bosie, so drop back onto the road there by Bosie's, okay. Down towards Shelter Park, and then we cross the bridge from Shelter Park over to Split Diamond. So it's only those two very small sections of bike path.
Okay. Have you walked or rode or drove that? I mean,
I don't know what it looks like right now. I had an employee out this morning looking at it, but I haven't gotten an update from them. Couldn't, you know, how a lot of snow. So
couldn't be a whole lot of snow on it, could there?
No, I know in previous years, like last year when we had a lot of snow, it was an issue. And so then it was, hey, this year let's make sure we put it in our request. We obviously couldn't forecast a month ago when we presented to town council what our snow would be like. So maybe this is a non-issue for this year.
So who plowed it last year?
Nobody did. And it was a safety concern for us. So we made sure to put it in our proposal to the town when we present for the temporary use.
So really, you're putting the proposal into the town to clear the bike path.
Well, maybe that's not the appropriate place to put it. I don't know, because they already approved it, if that makes sense. So we presented at the town council meeting early in the month or end of November for a temporary use permit, waived the fee, and requesting for clearance of the snow from the bike path. And they said yes.
And the town said they would do that?
Yes.
Okay. What we okie dokie.
So basically, we're giving the town permission to clear the snow,
clear it off the bike path.
And I think
so. We've got some issues.
Where's the record in this?
Here, go ahead. Go ahead.
So up until this year, the rec board did keep a portion of that plow. A portion we didn't do last year was across the bridge into Split Diamond. So that was the first year that wasn't plowed, and it was deep when these guys were trying to run. This year we're not plowing any because of budget cuts.
Right.
And this request was actually given to the rec board via email from one of our board members, our new guys. And the discussion with the rec board was, is we don't have the money to plow it.
Right.
We don't care if they plow it under the conditions of we, this summer, resealed and crack sealed that pathway. So if you put anything heavy with a metal blade on it, it's going to rip up our ceiling. So we're happy to have them plow it as long as it's a small vehicle with either a plastic plow or a brush. But that's it.
Well, I think the town has that.
I don't know if they do or not. That's just...
I think they have a skid steer with a brush, don't they?
As long as it's a small skid steer. It can't be one of the big ones guys that are like... Too heavy for
Commissioner Noble, you had a comment?
So the mayor called me, and he doesn't feel like it's the town's place to be on the county bike path. So whether or not they approved it a month ago, this was information I received just recently. So that leaves that. I don't know what that leaves the town.
It's the county bike path within his town.
Don't kill the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger. Okay,
actually,
I got
it.
It's
not in their town.
What's that?
It's not all the property that's on.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's, well, let's see.
It's in town
Shelter
limits,
Park.
We are on the county right-of-way in Shelter Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm
right.
Just gonna
county right-of-way within the town.
It is, yes.
That's what I'm getting
at.
I realize that it's the county right-of-way. I'm just saying it's in the town. Okay. Anyway. Go ahead, Commissioner.
I'm just going to throw this out there for discussion.
You go right ahead.
We've had such a fun
yeah,
day.
I know. This is going to be good. I need more chocolate.
Here
I'll
you
get
go.
You.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So, I would say with the minimal amount of snow and the promotional of using the bike paths, I would like to just see Andre run over there with his little broom and broom it off, and we're done. It would take him an hour. Is there any way the rest of you will go along with that?
I don't want to add any more to Andre. I really don't. But
So what capability does the rec board have? How do you normally plow when you were plowing it?
Well, we hired our plow guy, and he doesn't have the equipment anymore.
Oh.
So we don't even, I mean,
so you no longer have the ability.
We don't have the ability. I mean, I could do the research and probably find somebody that could possibly do it, but.
And you don't have the funding.
And we have no, we have zero.
Right, you don't have the funding to pay for it. Right. Does the PAC have the funding to pay for the plowing?
I have no idea what it would cost, but I mean, we could probably absorb it if we needed to. Safety is definitely, is why we presented that. It's a concern for us, so we want to make sure that people who are participating are staying safe. Obviously, there's going to be some snow and ice pack on the road, because it's a winter fun run, but we want to get rid of.
That's true. Snow. There's probably going to be as much on the roads as there are on the bike paths.
Yeah. And they're packed down, which makes it easier to run on. Because I don't think this year is necessarily a big issue, because we don't have a lot of snow.
That's
it looks like there's snow in the forecast.
That's one place where the town has cut back on there because of their budget issues. They're not plowing much.
No.
So the roads they're running on are going to be icy and packed.
Right. And as long as they're packed, it's okay. It's that loose, like last year when we had so much snow, like we had people falling in and stuff, trying to run through the loose.
Can you hand them skinny skis at one end?
Yeah, right.
Snowshoes.
Hazard signs.
So when is this scheduled run?
It's Saturday the 23rd, and I understand that this is very late, and this was not planned on our end. We thought we had taken care of what we needed to, and we were given instruction to follow up, given a name at the town, and so contacted the town. They sent us to somebody, I'm guessing from the county, Kara, Cara?
Well, Kara Losek is on the rent board.
Works
for the town of Big Piney, so I think that it was kind of a dual.
So then we got a message from her, and she was very polite and just said, hey, sorry, that money hasn't been allocated to do anymore. We can't help. And then I got a phone call.
This is something I don't need to fall on my sword over, but I just don't want to add any more on Andre's plate right now.
I'm sorry, I don't see an hour killing Andre.
What I don't understand, this is a community.
No snow.
I don't think it's going
to
have
the community.
There's much on
5K run. Mm-hmm. And where is the town in this? I know that we built the walking path, and the walking path, am I correct, belongs to us.
We have the right of way. Yes.
And so if you go to the walking path in Big Piney, Marbleton takes care of the walking path, and the walking path goes.
Well,
it's
a whole different billywhack down there. Because
well, I understand that. But
I like that billywhack.
But my point is this is a community K run, not a county K run.
Correct.
So I just hate to see the county, the city, every time they are short a nickel or whatever, coming to the county, whether it be the road up at Fremont Lake or wherever, and saying, we need you guys to do this. I wish there was somebody from the town here.
I honestly believe that the county has put lots of money into these bike paths, and I think we've held up our part of it. Commissioner Burnett.
I'm just going to make an observation and a few comments, and I appreciate Amber's last comments, because apparently you have been put in a position where you thought you had done the planning, only to be notified at short notice that everything's not taken care of. I have had an issue till you made that statement in terms of planning. Why are we looking at this 4 days before an event? And I fully understand that your group thought they went through the right channels. Mm-hmm. You were told by the town council, that's who you basically got the permit from, apparently with the wording that they would take care of the bike path. And now we're in this situation where you've got 4 days before your event. So in my mind, I've got a couple of concerns. Number one is how big a factor is safety. I certainly understand from our standpoint that I don't think we want to get into every group's personal request for something that we've instructed the rec board. It's not in your budget, we're not going to pay for it. And the other thing that I have a significant concern over, and that is whoever, or is the word whomever, does this clearing of the bike path in light of the money that you spent reconditioning that path and the concern you have about not disrupting that surface. If there were any damage to that, then my gosh, who are we going to hold liable? Because we've made one small area that's interfered with the work done. So it's, I'm trying to go through this and thinking, what can we do to help you? But at the same time, looking at it from the county standpoint and saying, we could be opening up a can of worms we're getting ourselves in, although the intentions of our heart are good in terms of trying to help provide for this event and help with the community. And I think you summed it all up. It's unfortunate that improper planning or perceived planning got us to this point. So I don't know, Mr. Chairman. I'm just making those comments.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, so
I appreciate
that.
So, what do you think, Doc? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, well, I guess a couple of things. I concur with Doc's comments, I think, 100%. But that said, normally these bike paths are maintained through rec board budget. The rec board made the decision to cut their budget and not do that. And then if we step in and say, well, geez, you're not going to do it, we're going to do it, I don't, that's a bad precedent to set, number one. Number two, if the town agreed to do it, and if they had the proper equipment, I think that's a good point. We don't want them putting something on there and tearing it up, or then we got a major expense, or the rec board does, what do we do? If they had agreed to it, which apparently they did, and if they've got a small skid steer with a brush and they can do it, I guess I'm okay with that, as long as the rec board is convinced that it isn't going to damage the bike path.
You mean the town's skid steer and brush?
Yeah. If,
I don't know what
that would need to be.
Can someone assess that?
Looked at.
Someone from the rec board?
In the next 4 days?
Well, yes. It would have to be within the next four hours.
So, unless,
I could ask, but there's no guarantees that I could.
Well, yeah, and that's fine. I guess what we're getting at here is we're okay if the town has the wherewithal to do it, but somebody needs to make that decision whether it, they've got the right equipment.
I wonder if we could provide a whole bunch of rooms to the kids at the park.
I thought about that. I'm glad you said that.
Well, I mean, if we're concerned about safety.
Plastic shovels.
Yeah. We can go out there and shovel it off if the area is a concern. But,
that's where I'm at, Mr.
K. Okay.
Not my intent today.
Hesitant to do anything.
So I think at the risk of spending any more time on this than we really need to, I think where we're at is if the town wants to clear part of those off, they'll need to coordinate with the rec board to make sure that they have the correct equipment to do so. Then they would have our blessing.
That's right. Do you have a contact specifically that you can call the rec board?
That would be me, and I do have my contact information.
Okay, excellent. So that's where we're at, Amber. Right. Thank you.
Thank you guys for entertaining us.
You bet.
Thank you, Amber.
Right. Appreciate it.
Carry Enjoy on. The rest of your meeting.
Yes. Take some chocolate. You can take any chocolate.
Oh, yeah. You better not. You can't leave without
take
taking
as much
chocolate.
Yeah, double handfuls.
Take a couple handfuls.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Mac, let's start the bills, and then let's go with old business here. We got about 15 minutes before the sheriff gets here.
Can I have about 2 minutes back before?
You bet. Oh, yeah. Make sure you stir while you're out.
Okay. You bet. I think right. I got to turn one up and one down.
Okay.
Yeah, when I get done here, then I got to do the rice.
Do you need to go now?
No. I can do that after I get this done. And I'll start with my, I was at a meeting with the Forest Service and Commissioner Bowsman. And it may have been one of the best meetings I've ever been to.
I heard a report from the clerk to that same extent.
Exciting people, excited about doing things, excited about moving forward with projects. And I thought Butch was going to come. When you mention gravel, Butch gets excited.
Yeah.
And this young man, who's the engineer, is on board with lots of things for us to do. And I think that this LaBarge Creek thing, this is right up Mr. Harrower's alley in terms of all of a sudden somebody with the federal government is going to do something.
Right.
That, and I think that, and am I correct, Joel, that's always been his crux.
Absolutely.
And I
mean, Bob for years has said, why won't the Forest Service give the county gravel pit?
Yeah, yeah.
Now the Forest Service is saying, tell us where you want it, we'll
yeah,
give it to
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and let's do it in the morning.
Yeah. So I felt really good about it.
Yes.
I heard. Name.
Yeah, I just said I heard a report from you that meeting that he's talking about was one of the best meetings
yes.
ever.
One of the best meetings ever, yes.
And I believe that Mr. Stem, Rich, is that
Rich
right?
Stem, yeah.
I think what an asset for us when we're dealing with the right questions
yeah.
and the direction that we need to go and people we need to contact. With him on our side.
Richard is a sharp fellow.
He knows how to get things to happen.
Yes, he does.
So, Mr. Chairman, just as a follow-up to that, but since there should be a report from that meeting coming, because he's contacted me about sending that stuff out. So I expect it probably just
no,
any time.
I should be right there.
Okay.
I was going to let me stamp these and
okay,
I'll come see it. Okay.
Just,
no, you
little,
got it right. Thank you very much. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Okay. Anything else, Commissioner Noble?
No, that's all I have.
Okay. Commissioner Noble?
CLG meeting on last Thursday. Talked about the Upper Green quite a bit. The Big Sandy Reservoir.
Oh, yeah.
Money was a discussion. I think if
I'm holding things up
to elaborate that on his report again.
We got lots of talk.
I've had various meetings on broadband. Have one today and two more tomorrow. And I'm sure you guys got Joe Sharkey's final report.
No.
Did you? Did you?
No.
No.
I didn't see that.
Did you get it, Mary?
I got it.
Will you forward that to them?
Okay.
What's in the file report?
You're about to see. Sorry, I didn't realize it. Yeah.
You can't give me a short version?
Is it about 20 pages long?
No.
So... Albert and I have reached out to two companies and they're supposed to send us a proposal on how they would shepherd this project forward if we choose to do so. And until we hear from them, that's about all I have to report on that.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question or comment because I'm not informed enough to figure this out. But the question I had, and I think I asked Mary this, with this new FCC determination about loss of net neutrality, is that going to impact something like this project going forward in terms of competitors' availability? Service? I don't know.
I don't know. Does anybody have any insight on that?
I'll elaborate on that after tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, I'm just trying to get just ask that as we look at moving forward. It is something that changes. Or I mean, the question is it changing anything? But what you're doing is not costing us any money. We're just going to
look at it.
Okay.
Just pretty much what you agree on.
Yeah.
As far as that goes, Joe Sharkey turned in his last bill.
He's
officially done as far as, I mean, he's meeting with me and Albert tomorrow and next today.
So is this stuff he sent out, his report, basically?
Yes. So okay. I would assume you would like him to come go over the report with you. He would be more than happy to.
Why don't you let us go through that?
That's perfect.
And then we'll decide if we need to have him explain it to us.
I guess my question to you guys is, what direction do you want to see it go from here? Are we spinning our wheels? Or
well, no, I personally think that we're headed in the direction that we wanted it to go to. We need to see if the legislature is going to throw in. I don't know if how everyone else feels about that, but I think that's the next move.
For this to work, we need, it's going to have to happen, I think.
Yep.
So to add to that, sorry, Endow had the Pinedale project in their last, was going to embed it in their last report. But after the committee meetings and all that, they chose to pull it out.
Really?
On the fact that the report looked like it was singling out Sullivan County as a project, and they didn't want to do that yet. So that part.
So not that they were opposed to
it. Not that they were opposed to it in any way whatsoever. They just didn't feel like they had the cart before the horse.
And so what are they waiting for?
I don't have an answer.
So that's my question.
I don't have an answer.
My question to them is, what would they be waiting for? What more do they need?
Money.
Well, I understand. That's true. Maybe they're waiting for the legislature to...
I think so.
Okay.
The governor might need $30 million for them, I believe.
Okay.
Not all of it's for broadband and other issues. But.
Okay. I'm all right with that, Tim. But.
And on that same note, sorry I keep grumbling on, but Lincoln County and Sweetwater County are very interested in joining in and tying in with us. So the more we appear as a cooperating group, I think that'll help us.
Okay.
And we're going to meet with Lincoln County here soon.
Like everything else, it comes down to funding.
Yes, yeah, are they? Yeah, are they?
Who's going to jump in? Who's going to help?
I guess my question.
Who's pulling and who's riding on the wagon?
I guess my problem is we can, if we continue forward, it looks to them like, oh, Sublet County can take care of it themselves.
And I know that's why I kind of asked the question earlier, is what's your feelings? Are we spinning our wheels? Or do the work group keep charging forward?
Well, I don't think we know the answer to, you know, who's going to participate. Is it going to be other support other than ours? I think that was one of the things at the very beginning.
We need to make sure that the state is going to participate to a significant extent before we can continue forward. We all agreed that we need to get our communication thing under control, too. That's our first and foremost.
So I guess in that, for the sake of conversation, the two companies that are bringing us the proposal, that could require some commitment on our part.
Right.
Before this day.
Right. Now, were you just, didn't we decide that you were just going to put the feelers out and see
that's
who?
That's all it is. They've done the proposal.
And these are the two that you've...
We put the feelers out, too.
And these are the two that bit.
And they're both big.
Okay.
They do the grant writing. They do the negotiating with, like, Silver Star, All West, Union, Century Link. They work through the whole thing.
Okay.
And that's what their proposal is.
And these would be the people that we could move forward with
yes.
if we had some... commitment on funding.
Exactly.
And we're not going to be stepping on anyone's toes, whether you say Silver Star or LR or
we're hoping they're all at the table.
They're all at the table.
Yes.
Okay.
They're all invited to help us solve this problem.
When I asked that question, is it Elena?
Yeah, Elena Zimple, yes.
Yeah, when I asked that, she said that there would be some pushback. But it may have been from just one company.
From what?
One company.
CenturyLink.
Oh, from, well, yeah.
We all know
I would be surprised if there were no pushback from CenturyLink.
But they're invited to the same table.
And they have the same opportunities.
They have the same, they can, yep. We're not excluding them in any way. And if you go back to the simple conversation, everything they're complaining about, say all the wire, that's all federal money to put it in. So they're operating on federal, just old standards.
Right.
So for them to complain about this seems ridiculous.
They had some investment, but they had a bunch of help.
Yeah, they had all federal. Well, the fiber that's in here was state money or federal money, you know?
I think federal.
So they have that. That's just conversation, though.
Okay. So are you asking us?
No, I'm just getting. I'm just feeling you out.
Okay, very good.
I know Albert and I and the whole work group put a lot of time into this, and I don't want to just continue that if we're not all somewhere.
Oh, I think we're all committed, but it hinges on funding.
Well, that's fine. I guess I do believe that funding for the Shepherd will probably involve us.
Well, it's going to have to involve us, but I mean, we're talking to what degree?
I don't know that.
And that, right, that's what I'm getting at here. If we're left out there on our own, I'm not willing to move forward.
I'm not either. What was that, Joel?
I'm not either if we're the only ones going to fund it.
And that's why I asked. Maybe Albert, jump in. You kind of missed out.
Well, you guys are working away there.
We've been talking about broadband.
We're talking broadband here.
And I asked him if...
Let's continue the broadband discussion after the rest of everybody else's old business.
Okay.
And then we can get Albert up here to the table. So do you have anything else?
No.
Tom? Okay. All right, Dave?
Nothing other than our monthly meeting with the seniors at Commissioner's Corner. A number of topics covered. Lengthy discussion, probably an hour and a half, but nothing specific. You said that?
I was at that meeting and was asked a question
about
how much does the county pay per mile to maintain the county road? Well, I asked Billy that, and instantly had a sheet for me, so I have not had a chance to get that back to that.
What is the short answer to that?
$5,422.
Yeah, so, that's what it costs to maintain the roads, and that is that's not building.
That's gravel road.
A gravel road. $5,500 a mile.
$5,500. And then the question was asked, how long is MagWire, and are we looking at other sources of fluoride and things like that? And Billy said he has.
Yes.
But a lot of them are really expensive.
Yeah.
And right now, the MagWire is the best.
And guess what? That is the eternal question. I have had that question since day one. I got on the commission for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you will continue to get that question.
Yeah. And it's great until it rains.
Well, you know, it just makes a mess, and all you do is you take your hose out and wash it off.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That figure was for primarily new road. Once you've got an established road and you've bagged it several times,
just annual maintenance.
It drops.
Then it goes down. It drops.
Okay. $5,500 for a new road.
Right.
Was that one of my
I have the bad boys right here.
What's that?
Well, and if you take that figure and if you compare it to paved road to bring a paved road up is $1 million a mile.
I'm going as soon as I stamp these.
To build it.
Yeah. Well, and the point is, there was a benchmark there. We know what it is, and I think that's what the person was interested in. Billy was on top of it. It's well broken down, covers everything.
Well, that's an interesting topic that I'm glad to know the answer to.
It's less than 55. It's closer to 54.
5422 or something.
Okay, but we'll say 50.
But wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
As a matter of fact.
Figure right here.
What's that? What is this figure?
For the maintenance.
I shall return.
Go, Tom, Mac.
How are you?
5422.
Dave? Solid, huh?
5420. 5420, okay.
Is that one we're doing twice a year?
That's the initial one. And that's, okay. You know, that's the mag cost on that is based on 8,000 gallons per mile. And typically when they redo it, it's more like 2,000 or 3,000 gallons. So that figure's going to drop by $2,000.
Okay. Once it gets to the point we're only doing it once a year.
So once a year, then it's less three, around three.
Yeah.
So
two or three. Yeah. So it.
All right, that's good. Anything further?
No, sir.
Commissioner Burnett, Commissioner Bowsman.
Okay. That couple of things we have going on. The Upper Green grazing permit, if we're going to object to that, it appears that CLG is out of funds. And maybe doesn't have a specific FERPA category dedicated to that, to pay for that. So we've got Mike Hinn is coming over at 1 o'clock, and Tom's going to stay around. We're gonna talk to Connie Brooks and see what those costs might be. We've also got going on, if we're going to file a not intervener status, but when you're filing a writing a letter
grievance
supporting the decision of BLM on the TNR, temporary non-renewable, it slipped out of my head. It doesn't cost anything like if you're doing intervener or
filing an objection.
Well, we're filing an objection on the Upper Green. Amicus brief. We'll get a number on what that might cost and decide, talk about the pros and cons, what would it get us, what would it cost to do that. I'd been asked by Kent, CLG, to talk to Mike McGrady about trying to cough up some more FNRPA money for CLG. If the Upper Green is not specifically addressed in as a FNRPA project in CLG, another option is to ask the governor's office for some FNRPA funding so we can do it with some cost share. So we've got those things going on. I think the word I got this morning, the permittees can cough up $3,000 from the association. So, and we're looking for a objection process, $10,000 to $13,000, I think. So the question I wanted today before we have a call with Connie is, where are we at on that part of our budget, Mary?
Overspent.
Overspent? Okay.
Yeah. Your consulting budget's overspent because of the Sharkey project.
Because of
Sharkey.
Yeah, that's coming out of that, too.
That's coming out of that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So if we're going to ask for some FNRPA money, we're going to have to put more money in our budget to pay our cost share.
To pay our share.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's all I have on that one. I went to Cheyenne a week ago. Mike Hinn and I drove down there together. Mike is now through an MOU with Department of Ag. He's the Department of Ag representative on JIO POPO, okay. Which really works because he's local and they don't have to worry about trying to pay somebody to come up here and stay to do that. Right. The only significant thing came out of the December meeting was, and it was out of sync with projects. We usually approve projects in May, but we approved $50,000 to help the Forest Service get the NEPA work done for a categorical exclusion on the Monument Ridge project. That's the Aspen encroachment project up in Bonner Ant. It's considered winter mule deer habitat for the, or summer habitat for the mule deer that winter on the mesa.
Okay.
And this is to improve that habitat, and it was unanimous in the board to put some money towards helping get that done. And the reason it needed to be done now is if we wait till May for those projects, then they're going to be behind on getting that NEPA done in time to move forward with
you and Tom
with that project. So that was the purpose of that one.
Send that one back to Tom.
Oh, sorry. The I spent 4 days in D.C. this week, got back 2 o'clock yesterday morning, working with the Forest Service on this, creating a guidebook that will define how the Forest Service needs to work with local government in the planning process, how they need to work with local governments in terms of counties that have natural resource plans in place, how to give counties a stronger seat at the table. The Forest Service has a very rough draft of what they see for their side of this. It's in our ballpark now to do the county side, what we think needs to be emphasized in this guidance manual. Once we get to that, it'll need to go out to the state county associations like WCCA, get feedback from them. Strong support from the chief for up in the ante on giving counties a little stronger seat at the table. In the end, we'll just see where it goes. But it was pretty encouraging, the support on that end. And they're finally coming around to realize if they work with counties to begin with, get a good understanding of the custom and culture, the economic base of the county, they can get probably through the planning process quicker and get to better decisions than they otherwise would. There is support both in Interior and USDA for moving the decision-making process closer to the ground. Just have to see where it goes. I spent a lot of time working on it.
Yes, sir.
Don't know if it's going to be a waste of time or not. Find out. Albert's laughing because he knows what we're up against.
A lot of stuff we've done that's a waste of time, but yeah. You got to try, right?
That's what we keep doing. Jack. I think that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Oh, one other thing. Yep. Go ahead. I was on a conference call yesterday with Western governors, and they have discovered what some of the Wyoming counties did with our economic baselines, including Sublette County. They became aware of Sublette County's doing this economic assessment of the Wyoming Range Energy Project, and Western governors are seeing that as a big advantage to moving forward if they can get more counties. If we can get economic baselines created in a broader framework, it's an advantage to the state, it's an advantage to the federal agencies, it's an advantage to the counties. If you have a starting place in being able to assess the impact of something that's being proposed on the ground. And they wanted to know how they can help. I think they're looking at putting together a panel discussion at one of the future WGA meetings to talk about that and maybe garner some financial support, hopefully from the federal agencies. So that's just another thing we're working on, try and get some money. So most counties just don't have the money in their checkbook to do this and keep up with it. We were lucky we had a FNRPA. We had FNRPA support to do that from the governor and the university and through WCCA, but if we can, they want to know how can we expand on that. Mm-hmm. So just another ongoing project. So that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I have one other thing, Mr. Chairman. I will be participating in a conference call tomorrow with
the WCCA Committee on Health and Safety, along with Eric Barlow and the Department of Health, that has to do with the Department of Health's decision not to renew that PMO contract and preventative services. So I'm there to listen. I'll let you know what comes of that. And then I have one question on this voucher for Rio Verde. ROW Platt BLM Rocks, it's not broken down. Does this have anything to do with the administration fee?
I've been trying to get that fleshed out, and it's hard to catch those Rio Verde guys.
Yeah, I'm just wondering because we agreed on a
$1.50. $1.50
a yard.
Yeah.
We need to have a contract basically with Rio Verde to administer the rock program, which we don't have in place yet.
Yeah, I'm just, it's hard to follow this out.
Can we get Matt working on a contract?
Yeah. Let me see that.
Well, and I've got Matt working on a contract, but we didn't have a number till last meeting.
That's all them up together.
Okay.
Right away, Platt and BLM Rocks.
One thing I forgot, and I don't know if Doc mentioned it before, but he did with his conference call tomorrow. We met with Renee Page yesterday.
Right.
And had a good conversation with where she was at and what she felt was going on at this, from the state level.
I had a brief meeting with her also. Okay. Yeah. Nothing to report on that.
No.
Anything else? I met with various and sundry people. I receive phone calls every day, so the person that gets to take over my chairmanship after I am gone is just going to have a call with their telephone. Why this? Why
Matt,
not that?
You shouldn't be announcing that, Andy.
Yeah, right. Why this? Why not that? And I take care of them as the phone calls come in, and I don't bore you guys with the details. So there you go.
Mr. Chairman, back to your voucher there.
Yep.
If you're uncomfortable with that invoice, we can pull it off.
I want to add to that conversation. So correct me if I'm wrong. My memory was is that we would pay them like we said. But I do know for a fact Rio Verde went back to the contractors and asked for that $1.50, so this would be a double payment.
Let's hold it out. Let's just hold it out.
This is the issue that I can't get to the bottom of.
No, I think I would appreciate that.
I have been complaining from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I need to be holding the bonds.
Yep.
And we need to be administering the contract.
I think the program is working well. We need to fine tune it though.
Well,
like Andy said, Matt drop a contract with Rio Verde.
Why don't, will you contact them and just let them know we're going to hold this out until they can get the information to you that we need?
Yeah.
Okay. Let them know that we're not going to be paying that until we get this straightened out.
Okay.
And I think that'll hurry them along.
Okay.
Anything else, gentlemen? The sheriff's not here, so Albert, come on up and let's start having our discussion on the.
You bet. Anything you want to have?
Legislation.
Help and yourself.
You have
Albert,
to.
You have
you
to
have
candy.
To eat chocolate. That is the law.
You know. that's why I went on a low carb diet at the end of the last session, as I was on a 2-donut-a-day diet at session last year with 5 pieces of chocolate.
Perfect. Perfect. That's a great diet.
And no meat.
Yeah.
No protein, yeah. Oh, man.
Doc, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Did you get my email on the.
Yeah, and I haven't had time to review it entirely.
Good.
I mean, because it is, what, 18 pages?
Yes.
Yeah, and I haven't had time to sit down.
I want to sit down with you and go over it.
Now, okay. Marty was supposed to call in.
Yeah, she's supposed to call, but it's
I think
be
we'll
11.
Just go ahead and start.
My problem on that and, thing that I get it there, I don't
when
have
she calls, we can put her on.
Okay.
So what we do here, gentlemen, I'm not sure if you've participated in one of these yet. But as it gets time for our legislators to go to Cheyenne, we invite them in and we talk about things that perhaps concern us or that we'd like to see happen or so on and so forth. So we invite Albert and Marty and Dan. Dan wasn't able to come, obviously. Okay.
You know, Mr. Chairman, as a suggestion, you might want to talk to Albert about broadband since it doesn't involve Marty.
I have that on my list right here, so we could even go with that one first. But
and then when she calls in, you can get into the legislative.
Yeah, just laying the groundwork down why we invite Albert in at this time of year, and we try to get it early enough too, so that, and then after the legislative session, we also have another meeting with him and we discuss what has happened and what's going on with the committees and such like that. So,
Mr. Turner, maybe it would be helpful for all of us, Albert, if you could explain where you think we're at, or where you think you're at with the legislature, the process for funding in Dow, if you have any sense of the amount of funding that might go with the broadband effort from the state?
Officially, I don't. You know, I think unofficially, I think the governor, I do know for a fact that there is going to be a grant program in Dow. We in appropriations won't see that fleshed out until you get the budget, and then the governor sends, as his high priority projects, he sends letters to the legislature. And Dow will be one of those letters. So that's how he has shaped his priorities, is he'll send different letters that show his different priorities other than the standard budget. You know, we know that Dow is going to be 30 plus million. We've heard up to 37 million maybe. I think there's fairly broad support in leadership for Dow and in the leadership of the legislature and for broadband funding. But that, you know, I've heard 10 million, there might be 10 million set aside for broadband, but I don't know that. I can't say with any certainty what the number will be. Other than that, there's business-ready community grants, which we've talked about, which we can submit applications up to $3 million for business-related stuff, which this would, I think the whole project would be, could be construed as business-related. So,
I think what we want to make sure that we want to make sure that we're wanting to move forward, that everybody knows we want to move forward with this project, but it also hinges on participation from other avenues as far as revenue goes.
I think so. I think, you know, ultimately you all are going to have to kick money.
Absolutely. And we understand that.
I think until we get, and I've tried to keep Mary on a couple of emails. There's a couple of different firms, another consultant, right? But there's a couple of different firms that I've asked for proposals for to kind of be the shepherd. That doesn't mean we have to choose one. That's you guys' decision. You're the bankers. But ultimately, Mary's not going to want to write RFIs to find out the interest from providers. I'm not able to write RFIs. I don't think Tom is. And so we need to be able to have somebody that understands how to write grants and how to write RFIs and RFPs. And then, you know, my idea is, we're not creating something new. This has been done, and both of these firms have done this in other states. And so I think we just need to see what we get, keep having discussions, keep moving along. Once we figure out what's in those broadband grants, and I'm working another angle on broadband in the budget too, but that's for another time. Okay. And so, okay. Well, whether I'm successful or not, I don't know. But
we'll keep working at it.
I'm working at it.
This point, those are the two that the two outfits that you've
mentioned. Yes.
That you were suggesting.
They were sending the proposal.
Yeah, one's
we
like
have something
KLJ, and the other one's like CTC, and they're one's kind of more regional, the other one's kind of a national. But the national person actually worked with Joe Sharkey in like the Finger Lakes of New York laying fiber years and years ago, so that she knew him, which was funny.
How do we keep this at the forefront? And moving forward without committing to the funding at this point?
Well, I think ultimately we have to create a process and a roadmap, and I think that's where we get if we can. And I don't know, you guys know your money situation, but I do know CERC turns some money back. Mm-hmm. You know, so my question would that be available perhaps for this consultant to look at once we see what and if it's worth the cost of one, If it's not worth the cost of one, then we'll have to just rely on Elena with business counsel and just force her to do it ourselves. But the way I would view we do it is first is, you know, if you actually put some dark fiber in a middle mile broadband thing, and you in your request for information, so you know you guys don't want to manage it, but you own it. It's just like Lincoln County, so it's like a 20-year lease sort of deal. You know, what's that worth to them? You know, if you read some of the literature, dark fiber's worth, sold back by government, is worth $750 a strand per mile. So there's a lot of value in what you would have, and so I think depending upon the return of investment of a company when they look at the project, you know, they'll come in with a proposal that, yeah, if we light this fiber for you all and we do the project, you know, we're willing to kick in this much. And so I think until we run all of those courses and apply for these grants, and then in the end, you apply for the grant, you get the grant. If you don't like the bottom dollar,
you turn it back.
Yeah. You just go,
right.
We don't want the, it's not enough.
True.
We can't fund it.
True. So what do these consultants, do we have a ballpark of what that's going to run us? Do we even know?
No, and I have no clue. And so until I sent basically our plan, I explained that we had the engineering for to create the proposal done. You know, ultimately, if somebody actually, you put it on the ground, somebody's got to engineer it and officially, and you go out and do the whole bit. But, you know, we don't need to hire their engineers. We need to hire their grant writers and their RFI writers. And so I've made that clear that that's what we're interested in looking at. And then once I get those, we'll look at it, give it to you guys.
Okay.
And then we'll just decide at that point. And I told them kind of middle-ish of January.
Yeah.
And then once we get that, we make some decisions on whether, how, or whether we want to go forward.
Okay. Are you going to have the time to do that there?
I will on the, you know, I might not be here for all of it, but it's a priority of mine to work on it. So I will do everything I can to get you the information you need, and then ultimately you guys got to decide.
Okay. So
and at some point, if you feel like it's going down a track you don't want, just tell me.
Okay.
And get out of it, because I've got plenty of irons and plenty of fires.
So at this point, we're headed in the right direction. We wait till the middle of January to see what comes.
Yeah.
And then we make a decision where to go from there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm happy with that.
Okay.
Albert, I have a question.
Sure.
When you listen to the radio, you listen to the governor talk, and he talks about the Endow program, and it's a real priority with him, and he's going to bring that to the legislature, and X number of dollars may be put into that program. Are we on the cutting edge of what we're trying to do in this county with broadband compared to other counties? Or is everybody trying to do something like we're doing?
Different counties are trying to do different things. Niobrara did, I think it was Niobrara, now it was Goshen. People around, it was around mm-hmm. Goshen County. They did some stuff. I think different areas are looking at it, but I think we're ahead of it. I think the reason we have a good chance of getting some grant money is, frankly, if we have something that's ready to go and the governor's got money and a budget for it, this wasn't
Yeah, this didn't happen yesterday.
This didn't happen yesterday. I've been working on this for quite a while to get some funding in place.
Something came across an email. I don't know where. I see things in the dark. But something about broadband going across power lines.
Yeah.
And is this something
and
new?
And in 2050, there'll be something else. So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, so my answer is you can always wait. You see the next technology. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that, you know, if that pops up in the next couple of years and that works, mm-hmm. then maybe that's the solution, you know. This project's not going to happen overnight, right?
Oh, yeah.
If we're lucky, you take a year to fund it, if you're lucky.
Right.
And then you take a year or a year and a half to build it out.
Build it out.
You know, so I've just seen the same thing that you saw. I've heard that there's other technologies out there that are coming, but when are they coming?
Yeah.
Fiber's been out a long time. We really don't have it.
Well,
we do, but it's pretty minimal.
Yeah, and the power line thing's great. I think it's really great out in the world, but the more you get into towns, the more everything's buried. And then, see, that's overhead power.
Yeah.
That'll be run on. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be underground power.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that's we're headed in the right direction. We just see what comes up in the middle of January, and then we decide whether to move forward with the consultants.
Yep.
And then we apply for the grants.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. That sound good to you, Tom?
Sure.
Okay.
You good?
Yes.
All right. Excellent.
And yeah, I think Sublette County would be cutting edge. I think we'd be ahead of the game. I don't think there's another county. I think some counties have worked on this, like I said, around Torrington. But I don't think, for the most part, a county has done this. There's been a lot of them in Colorado do it because Colorado has a statewide broadband plan, which Wyoming needs to do. And then it's been tiered down to local levels. And I think eventually Wyoming's going to get there. I think we're ahead of the game.
Okay. Very good. Well, let's move on to another topic then.
Do we need to call Marty, or was she going to call here?
She was supposed to call in, but let's double check with Mary here just as soon as she gets back out.
So while that's going on, I'll just give you a brief overview of the appropriations. So,
go ahead.
and this is the Albert Summers version. First, since it was talked about, the PMO thing, that issue was finally brought out in the open at JAC, and Forslund confirmed that he was going to basically, and we all know the reason why, is because that administration of that PMO has been in conflict, and this is an opportunity for Forslund to do something about it. I think Eric may have some ideas that are not quite where Forslund wants to go, but that I think has merit, so if you listen to Eric. I think it's tiered back to counties. I think that's good. I think having you guys, having local efforts in every county is a good way to do it. It depends on how it works. So there's that issue that I think you just need to keep in touch with Eric and let me know what you think of that.
Okay.
And then WildLink, Pete Obermuller has contacted me about WildLink, and I know the counties are wanting to kind of put that back into, apparently there's still enough money left, and all we have to do is authorize YDOT to perhaps spend it so we're not billing every county. Because otherwise it's coming up on when, in my understanding in conversations with Pete, that you all would be starting to get real bills for WildLink. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
They have been sending out what they call faux bills.
Right.
Since this summer.
Yeah.
And that was part of the thing that spurred the conversation about what we were going to do.
Right.
Because it's based on how much equipment you have.
Yes.
And you get charged per radio.
Per click.
And you get charged per click.
Yeah. So my point in all of this is just as Pete formulates a plan of what he wants to see and comes to me, I need to know what you want me to do. I'm fully willing to support the county commissioners in getting what they need in the budget where they need it on the WildLink thing, but you all are my people, so you need to look at what he's doing and then tell me what I need to do.
Well, the other part of that is that we've got an RFP out right now.
Right.
And we'll get that, I think, like the 17th of January. It's the middle of January. And once the commissioners have that, there'll be a decision point at that point about what we do next.
Okay.
So
if we pull the trigger and move forward on our own.
Yeah.
Right. What do you have any idea what our faux bills were running? That'd just be interesting ammunition.
Fire by itself, and fire is not okay. You're talking EMS and sheriff's office,
right.
And I know fire. I think was like $3,000
a month.
Yeah,
just fire.
Yeah.
So you add sheriff's EMS on top of that, which are substantially busier.
Yeah, busier, more equipment.
So it's probably
more
not
more clicks. Yeah,
it's probably not out of the realm to say that we would be paying $15,000 a month.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going off past memory, but I believe Shad has said it comes to roughly $100,000 a year. Am I right?
I think
15 a month would be
15 a month is.
I think the bow bells were 100 and some plus
130 a year,
and that's why we chose to move forward with the RFP.
Yeah.
So, you know, Pete had, and I run it by Nicholas, and he didn't like it, but I thought Pete had an interesting idea that you guys in the Commissioners Association might think about is, and I don't know if we could ever get any support for it, probably not, but right now there's a 911 charge on your phone, mm-hmm. and there's a question whether we could add a little more to that. Because this is an emergency. It isn't phone emergency, but it in fact is the step down from a phone in the emergency piece. Is there a way to fund this through an extra charge in that?
So right now we have a 911 surcharge. We get paid 50 cents for every landline, and then the cell services are kind of voluntary,
right,
or whatever,
right.
They've been included, but we have no idea of knowing how many,
right,
of those guys are out there, and we do get some checks for that. The money, the 911 money that we get now, pretty much covers the cost of our 911 line, and that's it. There isn't a lot of money in that. Also, I think that we could charge up to 75 cents a line. Silvett County's always charged 50 cents at the beginning and never increased that cost because we were covering our cost.
Right.
And didn't think we should use it for a moneymaker.
So the question is legally, could that be used for this service? And is there something we at the state level or the legislature could do? So I think going forward, think about that, because whether each individual county goes his path or not, how are we going to ultimately fund this? And is there a way to do this that is equitable?
Yeah.
And I think your phone, you know, is equitable.
Though. Either way, whether they're with WildLink or on their own, that could help offset the cost.
It could. So you guys think about that in your associations and kick it around and see what's...
Okay.
The prime impetus for having this discussion that led to us putting an RFP was a concern about the per click cost. And I think that's probably the same issue within the Commissioners Association. That's what they're trying to address too, isn't it?
Yeah, he didn't get into that. He's just trying to figure out how to fund it, because right now the funding ends, but I think he found that there's some more money there, and then this was like in the last days I was down there, and Pete was still emailing me on it, because we sat down with Bob for Nicholas for a while and talked about WildLink and about how it's going
to
be funded.
It'll be interesting to see how that comes out, because once whatever happens in the legislature, and once we get the RFP, depending on what the legislature does, it could change our perception. Do we move forward with the RFP or not, as well as the cost of the RFP?
And that perception of WildLink in the legislature is like yours.
Is it?
I mean, people just think it's been a goat rope.
Well, that's a lot of the reason we're looking at doing our own thing, because
when we met with the sheriff and the fire warden and we're having this original discussion, they felt that it could even get up to $30,000 a month at some point.
Wow. But then the question is, what do you replace it with across the state?
Right.
And so that's the challenge, and the money that's been put into it, and that's the whole debate. So, and then on appropriations in general, as you know, we are going into this after the governor submitted his budget, which by some accounts is maybe $105 million more than last year. We're looking at something to the tune of $805 million shortfall. From traditional revenue sources. We got about $260-70 million in savings streams that we can pull off. And, you know, we have our LSRA, and we have a little money that came in after the Craig came better, you know. We didn't spend as much of that 1% last year, so there's $80 million there. But long story short, his budget's being paid for with a lot of coffee cans right now. And that's only sustainable as long as the coffee cans have money in it. And that's not going to be for very many more biennium. So at some point, Wyoming's going to have to face reality. And I don't know when that is. The one thing is you don't, I've said this today to somebody else, you don't want to look too far ahead and make too many assumptions, because they are all assumptions. So, you know, things can change, things can perk up, things can look better. And but having said that, I would suspect that JAC will, as we always do, look really hard at those budgets to see whether those increases that are being asked for are warranted. So I haven't heard any thing about the 105 of counties. I haven't heard any discussion.
My question, if you'd heard anything about the governor's request for the 105.
Yeah, so far I haven't heard anybody say, well, we need to cut it. I've heard discussion around, you know, should we give counties authority to tax some. I've heard discussions around, if you impose a tax, should we dedicate some to the counties and then cut them some, you know, but give them some more dedicated sources of funding. I think all of those are just discussions. I don't think there'll be any fruit in any of those, but I don't think there's any danger of the 105. That's, you guys have a pretty hard lobby down there, and it's pretty tough to peel that away from you.
Especially if the towns and counties are on the same
page
and there's some things going on there that indicates maybe they're not in terms of authority. It sounds like some of that's coming up again.
Yeah.
On authority of towns outside the city limits, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about it other than I've just heard a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on your appropriations, Albert?
No, we're just right in the middle right now. We just spent 2 weeks on it. We're in the middle of interrogating agencies. That's what I call it. Just like you guys do.
Just
right?
Like we do every June.
You know,
and
that's part of the process. It, you know, it's sometimes I think we're viewed as being a little bit harsh, but it's your job and our job to ask hard questions of how people spend money, and then ultimately you make decisions about whether certain programs are beneficial, not beneficial, need more help or need less help.
Along those lines, I might ask you, it was mentioned in the Transportation Committee meeting in talking about WyoLink and such like that, and at one point one representative brought up the fact that, and mentioned Sublette County in particular, that Sublette County has X amount of reserves, and kind of spanked us a little bit for that. Is that the general thought throughout the legislature?
Probably.
Okay.
Pepperman?
Yeah.
Piperinen.
Piperinen was the rep.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for us?
Right. We cut our budgets and we do all this so that we can have this.
Well, you're not the only one that has a reserve, and there's not gonna, they can't take the reserve. And
right.
There's, I don't hear any legitimate movements out there that are gonna, you know, I mean, does it make it harder for us to get grant money? Yeah.
That was gonna be my question. It says, are we behind the eight ball because we have money?
We are, but at the same time, like, and I mentioned this before, at those business ready community grants, we are the lowest dollar per capita of any county in the state that's got money, lower than Campbell County. And so, you know, I think we have a legitimate cause to come in and ask for state money once in a while, and you know, we'll fight that battle when that battle needs to be fought. But I don't see anybody coming in and raiding our pot of money.
Well, it just seems like the state has, through the years, the state legislature has understood the value of saving their own money. The rainy day account, you know, the reserve accounts, and it's hard to understand how they see the value of them saving money, and yet they seem to, some of them, send the attitude that counties shouldn't save any money. they should be supporting county saving money instead of saying, geez, you got
to
save.
Why don't you just spend it all?
Yeah, why not spend it all? Then none of us would have any money.
How much is it?
It doesn't make sense.
Is it correct to say that currently there's no statutory authority that allows them to do that?
Yeah, I don't. I think it'd take a constitutional thing. I mean, these are local property tax. Yeah. The only reason the school thing happened is that there was a Supreme Court decision that said you have to equalize funding, and so it became a constitutional issue on that money. And that's why your pre-97 reserves, as you guys in schools know, were never touched, because if you do that, you're going back before the Constitution said that you had to do that. And so there's I've heard people, well, let's pilfer the pre-97. They're not going to pilfer the pre-97 dollars, because they can't. The courts wouldn't allow that. Those monies were generated before that Supreme Court ruling changed that.
And of course, this is just my paranoia, because I was in the middle of that.
Oh, I'm sure.
In education. Yeah. And so when you hear someone say, how come they have all this money, I could see it happening all over again to Pinedale School District or to Big Piney School District, and or the county here. And I don't want to go through that.
And what makes me nervous is when they finger Sublette County specifically. Yes. That really makes me nervous.
No, and it's done several times. I mean,
correct me if I'm wrong. It was several years ago the legislature did consider someone's bill to limit depreciation reserve accounts for the schools, which basically, I mean, it didn't pass, but basically it was targeting depreciation reserve accounts, and if it's over X amount of millions of dollars, it goes back to that.
So by statute, the school's reserve by statute is 15% of their budget.
Right.
So that's a statutory thing. So you could shrink that to 8 or 5 or 2, okay, or increase it to 20.
But you see where I'm coming from. That's the paranoia.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's a statutorily created fund.
Yeah.
You all have, you know, they could take away your mills.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, somehow,
but they can reduce the percentage amount.
Yeah, right. But I don't think they can come in and take your money.
It's that paranoia that built a new football field in Piney.
Yeah.
So I have I've covered the things that I've written down here. We have an executive session at 11:30. So
Okay. Let's
move forward. If you have anything for
one
Albert.
One quick question for Albert. Have you seen do you know what the governor's requesting for the money for the legislature, if it's the same as prior years or more or less, or have you seen that anywhere?
I can ask. If you guys send me an email, I'll ask, because okay. I might have seen it. I've seen something on FNERPA in the last bit, but I don't remember. I think it was in the governor's budget.
It normally is.
And I think it was either the same or a slight increase. It definitely wasn't a decrease.
I can find out by calling Jessica. It's no big deal. I just thought maybe you knew off the top of your head.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I can find it out real quick.
I can find out. We've got several things going on with BLM and Forest Service that some NERPA funding may be crucial to.
There's always a question when his office comes up and you see the amount of people in his office, and so that's always questioned. I don't think the FNERPA money is going to be touched, but you look at the level of staffing in a lot of these agencies compared to, you know, when they made cuts to the people. They didn't make cuts to the agencies.
Yeah.
To the administration of the money. That was just typically. Nobody wants to lay anybody off. Three people we riffed in the Brand investigators, I'm still hearing about that. That was like the only three people, or there's like six people riffed in the whole state in that whole budget cut process.
Well, I guess that's an interesting subject, because it appears that our local law enforcement is going to have to pick up the slack for that Brand investigation division.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it'll work. I don't really have a strong feeling one way or the other.
It's been blinking forever. That one's on.
Yeah, I don't either. I just know when you got to make cuts, you got to make cuts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we make cuts everywhere.
And we have to.
Yeah, that's right.
We have to.
Yeah, you guys have had to.
Oh, boy. Anything further, Commissioner Bowser?
No, just a comment that it, and I've seen it continually as a commissioner when I've been in Cheyenne, that the, a lot of the new legislators failed to understand for a long time that county government is strictly a subsidiary of state government. Everything we do is authorized by the state. And they like, some of them, well, you're the county, you don't deserve anything. Jesus Christ, guys, we're part of the state government. We're just the state government at the local level.
We're an extension of the
state
government.
You know, the treasurers, the clerks, the commissioners. Without that local government, the state's got to, they're going to have to figure out how to run the state.
Yeah, and pay for it.
And it would be helpful if a lot of them understood that to begin with. They don't seem to make the connection.
Yeah.
But now after they're there a while, well, a lot of them, they finally realize it, but I know you realized it before you ever went there. But,
yeah.
But a lot of them don't.
No, it's, yeah.
Commissioner Burnett, anything for Albert?
Can we wait till next week to go over that bill? Is that too late for you?
I'm gone, but I'll be back like about the 2nd or 3rd of January.
Just call me and I'll look it over by then and we can sit down and have a visit with
Okay, or give me a holler so I don't forget.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, and if you have other ideas, I wouldn't mind sitting down with you and Fred if I could get Fred to Big Piney or something.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
Commissioner 5.
Yep. Mac?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm listening.
And just, you know, you're an old school guy, and I know there's a, people think that, and you all might all differ on this opinion, but people think that we overspend in education in the state of Wyoming, and I'm not one of them, so.
Well, that's good. That's good, because I don't believe we do either.
There's, you know, I think there's some efficiencies we can find, but you go out, you know, it's just too close to me. I've seen it enough, and I've seen what you all do. It's
one thing that might make sense, and there's places it could be done, is combining administrations.
Yeah.
Where one business manager could cut checks for more than one school. If the districts, by districts working together, not to necessarily combine the district, but to combine some of the administrative functions.
Yeah.
And that's that was an issue 30 years ago when I was on the board. I brought it up, and nobody wanted to go there.
Yeah, it's who rules the guy, right?
Yeah,
that's the challenge.
That's what it's about.
Who rules the guy?
If you consolidated Big Piney and Pinedale, within 3 days, the kids would love it. The parents would hate it for the next 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Kids wouldn't care. They would love it.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter. Red and green.
History.
Depending on the where you put the emphasis on the syllables, with what Albert said, you're an old school guy, or you're an old school guy,
yeah.
Or you're an old,
yeah,
old
right.
guy.
School guy.
It doesn't matter who you talk to, wherever they come to Wyoming, they say, we have the finest schools of any place in the country.
Right.
And that's why they're coming for their kids to put them in schools in Wyoming.
What we don't want to do, and I'll be quick on this, but what we don't want to do and what we've created in special ed is people are bringing kids from all over the country.
Yes.
To put them in for our special ed because it's at 100%. And so we're attracting, frankly, the greatest challenges in the nation to our state. Mm-hmm. Now, that's great for those kids, but it's not necessarily great for our budget.
Right.
So how do we do something there without without mess? You know, you got to be careful in special. You know this
Absolutely.
More importantly. You got to be careful in special ed. Mm-hmm. But how do you contain that budget? And we have to do a better job of that particular budget.
Huge amount of money goes there.
200 and some million a year. And the trend line is the number of kids is flatlined, and the trend line on the spending is like this.
And they are all equal, and they all should get an equal education. One's just more expensive than the other.
Yep.
And if you don't, the next thing you'll hear is, "Would the defendant please rise?"
Yes, you're right. Absolutely. It doesn't matter if the federal government puts a dime in or the state puts a dime in. Those schools are mandated to take care of those kids.
Yep.
At a certain level, whether there's a dime provided or not. And so there's the challenge, yep. And there's where the courts come in. Well, if you guys ever have anything at any time, let me know.
Well, we'll probably have more when we get down there and go over what all the bills are and
right.
Sit down for our legislative dinner. There'll probably be things come up that we're not even aware of right now.
Okay. Let me know where you want to go on the PMO thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going in maybe a better place, but I don't know.
Well, I'll be interested in hearing what Eric has to say.
You know, I think Renee's done a great job, and I'm hoping in whatever format it goes forward, somebody can get her hired to do the job. But it's just the way it is.
Right.
So hopefully.
What was nice was having a discussion with her yesterday and then being able to understand to a point what you're talking about. If I hadn't have had that conversation with her and did a little research, I wouldn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I do now. So it's the learning curve.
Yeah.
I'm still climbing.
Yeah, well, we all are.
Thank you, Albert.
All right, thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Albert.
Yeah, thanks, Albert. Merry Christmas, Albert.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Good luck.
Say hi to Janina.
You can take some candy to pass out.
Please.
All right.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll have an executive chat.
How are you? Well, compared to the last time I saw you,